I said, we do want to welcome everyone here. If you're visiting with us, we are surely glad to have you. We hope this is not the last time. We'll be back. Neil, it's good to see you this morning. You know, when I saw you, whatever, I just want to let you know, this week I thought about you and prayed for you. You know, just praying. So, good to have you here today. Amen. Good to have everybody here. You know, today is Mother's Day, and we, as a family, Jelaine and I, and our family, and as a pastor, we want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. We hope that this is a great day for you, a day of encouragement, a day where maybe your family is together with you and just showers you with love and adoration as far as thanking you for all the things that you have done for them this year or last year or whatever, from the time you were born. So we do want to wish you a very happy Mother's Day. And I know, you know, this is a day that is set aside in our country, in America, where, you know, it's a day that to show appreciation to mothers. You know, in 46, I was reading on Mother's Day, in 46 countries throughout the world, one day is set aside to show appreciation for motherhood or for ladies in all their contributions and all that they have done. And I'm so glad to know that. You know, as I look across, you know, people you've come to celebrate this time, you know, I know probably some of you, your mothers may not be here as far as physically upon the earth anymore. I mean, you know, Miss Anna's only 25, so I know she's still going through. I love Miss Anna. But, you know, I know probably some of you, your mothers are not here today to show that appreciation. And whenever Mother's Day comes around, I know it may even be a little hard. Because, you know, your mothers aren't here, and you'd like to call them, see, maybe, or say something to them, or do something. But you know what? I want to encourage you.
Yeah.
Think of the positive of something great that happened between you and your mother.
What you get?
Oh, we can think of negative stuff, but think of something positive that happened. Yeah. And just appreciate her in your heart today. Appreciate her in your heart today. You know, because, you know, it's not easy sometimes. But we have a God that can help us. But also a matter of note, the ones that you do have a mother that is still alive, show some kind of appreciation to her today. You might say, well, Pastor, what can I do? You know, a simple phone call can make a whole lot of difference. Just getting on the phone and just saying, you know, I appreciate you. I appreciate you. And tell them you love them. I know that's hard. That's hard for us guys sometimes, you know. That's hard for humanity, honestly. Because of the downfall of man, it's been a hard thing. But you know what? Get on the phone and tell them you love them while you can tell them, and they can physically hear it. Tell them. And I know it's going to be a lot of ego has to be swallowed a little bit sometimes, or just whatever. But you know, you don't know what that does to your mother on the other side of that phone. And she may never say it, or may never say anything. But you know what? Tell them why you can that you love them. I mean, just say, look, Mom, I love you. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, that you agree with everything she's done or said, you know, because we all have our differences. But for them to hear it is something that we need to hear. And so get on that phone and, you know, tell them you love them. Send them a card if you could. Flowers, do something to show appreciation for all that they have done for you. Mother's Day, like I said, is celebrated in 46 countries as of today. But all over the world, people love to celebrate Mother's Day with their mothers and to shower love on them. But we do want to thank all ladies and mothers for all that they have done for us. Thank you, ladies. You know, thank you for taking care of your families. Thank you. Now, I know you, nobody's perfect, but thank you for taking care of your families. Thank you for washing the clothes. You know, thank you for ironing the clothes. You know, thank you for cooking. Thank you for, you know, the encouragement. Thank you, you know. And also thank you as a pastor. Thank you for ladies for holding up the banner of righteousness and praying and seeking God on behalf of the church and of people. Thank you. Thank you for praying for your children. Thank you. Thank you for praying for your spouses, your husbands. Thank you for doing those things. And thank you for all the things that we don't even know you do. You know, thank you for taking the time to do those things and helping your family at that time. In the Old Testament, there are many role models for us today in the Old Testament. And, you know, there are a lot of men. You know, we can think of Noah, you know, the one with the big boat, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, David, and Daniel. There are great women in the Bible also. And I love the way God used anyone who has a heart for him. You know, women like Sarah and Ruth and Esther. But a great and wonderful role model of faith today is Hannah. Hannah was the mother of Samuel, one of the greatest prophets of Israel. And we can see in 1 Samuel, as you turn there in chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 1, how Hannah went through a hard time, went through some hard things, but God still blessed her. Her faith grew in her Lord. And a lot of times, when we go through difficult times of whatever situations in our own lives, personally, or as a family, or whatever, that a lot of times what God is trying to do is build our faith in Him. In Him. Because you see, if man could do it alone, we would have done it thus far. But God wants us to realize as mankind that we need to rely upon Him and Him alone to get the job done. To rely on Him and letting the Holy Spirit move upon a situation to get the job done. And that's what happened in Hannah's life, where God had to bring her to a place in order for Him to be lifted up, God, and to build her faith in Him to believe that God could do it. Let's turn to the 1 Samuel chapter 1. And let's start at verse 2. And it says this, and he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Now, in the Old Testament, they had many wives. Not that God wanted that. And we think, oh, okay. You know, God allowed that in the Old Testament because of their hardening of their hearts. God did not want, you know, man to have two or three wives and all this stuff. That it was supposed to be one wife for one husband. That's how God intended it to be. But when man gets involved in something, he messes up things. And it says that Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Verse 3. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. That's where the tabernacle was. And the two sons of Eli, Hophniah and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah when the Lord had shut her womb. Now, you might say, what happened? That means she could not bear children at all. At all. And it says that the Lord shut her womb. That it wasn't her fault, her husband's fault, anyone down the line, but the Lord allowed it for certain reasons, to build her faith and to bring a prophet into the world. And her adversary also provoked her sore, or to make her fret, or she worked on her emotions, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she, Hannah, went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why do you weep, and why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Here we see an awful, if you want to say, event happening. Hannah and Peninnah, two wives. Peninnah had many, many sons and daughters. You know, many, many sons and daughters. But Hannah had none. And in that age of time, when a woman couldn't bear children, she was looked down upon. Now, in today's society, that's not the situation, but she was looked down upon, that she could not bear children for her husband. And it says that Peninnah would laugh at him and would say all kinds of things to her. And it says that Hannah would fret, or her emotions would come under fire, if you want to say it that way. That things would happen to her as this other wife would make fun of her, as they would go to make the sacrifices and do all that needed to be done, they would laugh at her. Now, has anybody ever been laughed at by someone? That doesn't feel good, though. It doesn't feel, or to be made fun of. That doesn't feel good at all, no matter what has happened. But they played on her emotions, and her emotions overwhelmed her. And she would cry and say, Lord, what's going on? Why is this happening to me?
Got a bullet in her.
And you know, and
got a bullet in her.
You know, when things happen to us, you know, it hurts our hearts on the inside. It made her fret. The devil was working on her emotions, the things on the inside of her. But God had a plan. You see, one thing different, though, many things, but one thing that's different between men and women, their emotions, those things can happen, and it will affect them, affect the inside. And men sometimes are a little different. They can roll things over sometimes. And that's just how men and women are different and are made, and there's nothing wrong with either side. But we have to realize this, that God is in control of what's happening in Hannah's life. And ladies, you need to remember that God is in control of what's going on in your life. As you go before Him and you surrender your life before Him, that God is in control. That He is in control of what's going on the outside. And He will help you to get through to the other side. That's the kind of God we serve. It was a test of her faith. A test of her faith. Women of faith are not without problems in their life at all. We should not let others detour our trust in the Lord. Hannah could have used this misfortune and mistreatment as an excuse. Yet year after year, Hannah continued to worship the Lord. That's an amazing statement. She, year after year, would go with her husband to the place of worship and sacrifice, even though she knew she would be made fun of, things would happen to her from the other wife and other children, those children. Isn't it amazing? She trusted God. Ladies, And this is fair, but ladies, because it's Mother's Day, trust God. Things may happen. Things may go on, but still trust Him. Still trust Him. Things may happen, and look, a lot of things are out of our control. But we can go to a God that can change things, and it can come under His control, not us. Because if we control something, that's a form of witchcraft, basically. But when God controls something, and God changes something, it is changed forever. So she still trusted God. And I know things go on in families that are not good. Things happen in families that hurt the hearts of mothers and fathers and children and
families.
Because you see, sir, there's an enemy out there. And it says that he's come to what? To steal, kill, and destroy, the scripture says. That's those who were the devil. But it says that Jesus came to give life. And so that you would have it what? More abundantly. So Hannah had to trust God. Had to trust Him. And it's not easy sometimes. You know, the scripture in Proverbs says, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will what? Make your path straight. Trust in Him no matter what. Trust in Him no matter what. When she knew what was coming about, can you imagine year after year when that time would come, she knew what would happen? Yet she still followed her husband, and she trusted God. Because every time she'd take that journey, she knew she was not expecting a child. She knew it. I mean, ladies know when they're pregnant, you know?
She didn't care.
And after a while, other people know too, you know? But she still trusted God. That He would take control of things.
That show. I was just sitting on the toilet. Crazy.
Look at this. Let's go on to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Look at starting at verse 9. It says this. Now this time something was different. They went to pray. They went to sacrifice. And verse 9, it says this. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she, Hannah, was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. Now let's stop there. How many ladies have you been of bitterness of soul? I mean, you just crying out to God. And men too, crying out to God, saying, Lord, what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen? I mean, she was broken, but let me tell you this. The best place to be broken is to be broken before the Lord. That's the best place to be broken. To be broken before Him. She got to the place, you see, that she went into this place to pray, the tabernacle in Shiloh, and she said, I'm going to touch God today. I need Him. That was God putting that in her. She was broken, broken because she knew the torment of what was going to happen on and on throughout the time they stayed there and throughout the next year. But she trusted God, broken before Him. And this is it. Then it says in verse 11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid, and remember me and not forget your handmaid, But will give unto your handmaid a man child, she's talking about a son, and I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued to pray before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart only. Her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunk. And Eli said unto her, how long will you be drunk and put away from your wine from you? And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor drunk strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not your handmaid for a daughter of Belial worthless. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Before I read verse 17, before God answers her prayer, look at this. In verse 10, she was broken. In verse 13, she could hardly speak, but she was speaking from her heart. People, we can say all kind of words, but I tell you what, when things come from our heart, you turn the ear of God towards us, towards you. Have you ever been to a place, ladies and men, that you've come to a place where you're so broken that you can't even speak out of your mouth? But all you can do is speak, it seems like, out of your heart. You're saying something in your mind. You're crying out to God. You're crying out to God. You're crying out to God. It's an amazing thing that it seems like when we cry out to God and we ask God to move upon a situation, we're broken before Him. It seems like it moves the hand of God upon our lives. Because you see, He realizes this. He knows, but not, He knows this. As we are broken before Him, and it seems like we can't even speak hardly, that we're speaking out of our mind and heart, saying, Lord, move, help me, help me. That God is saying, okay, now you're at a place where I can move. Now you're at a place where I can handle the situation. Now you're at a place where you know that you can't handle the situation. And people, as children of the living God, we go through horror things also. Just because we're children of God doesn't mean that we won't go through things. Things happen. But we know this. The difference is we know our God is in control. We know that our God is handling things. And He loves when we turn our face towards Him and say, Lord, I can't handle this anymore. I can't do it. But Father, You can do it. He loves to take it. He loves to take it. He loves to take those broken marriages. He loves to take those wayward children. He loves to take those financial problems. He loves to take those things that are burdening you as ladies down, or men. Because it says this, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for us. And He takes those things and He handles it. And handles it. It's an amazing thing, people. She was at the house of God. And the priest thought she was drunk. I can't say she was the only one, but maybe one of the few that actually touched God that day. And yet the spiritual authority thought she was drunk with wine, drink, whatever, you know. But she was drunk. And she said, oh, no, I'm not. I'm just burdened down. And he said something in the next verse, which is verse 17, which is a great statement. He said this, then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of Him. My God, can you imagine what this did to her? something she had been praying about. She didn't know that it would be granted unto her. Even though Eli may not have been 100% correct in his relationship to the Lord, and he couldn't discern between being sober or not, then he said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you your petition that you have asked for. Can you imagine? She got up, and she was changed. Go in peace. And that's an amazing statement, people. Have you ever been so burdened down that after the touch of God, and nothing has changed physically on the outside, but something has changed on the inside? That's the God of peace. That's the God of peace. You see, God is saying this, let me carry your burdens, ladies. Let me carry those things that the enemy tries to bind your mind and heart. Remember this, ladies, you are an arch enemy of the devil. Now, all of mankind is, but you are an arch enemy of the devil because you were used to bring the deliverer upon the earth. And the devil won't forget that. You are the one that God used, a woman, to bring the deliverer upon the earth. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, that died upon Calvary's cross to bring us liberty and freedom. And that's what he hates, humanity, but he hates women. And he will do all he can to destroy the minds and the hearts and the bodies of a woman, because he can't stand her. Because freedom and liberty has come to humanity because of Jesus dying upon the cross and being born of a woman. God used you. And so we need to remember that the enemy is out there. But yet also we need to remember that God has given us the liberty and freedom to serve him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That, ladies, that God comes in and protects his children. And we know whatever happens, that God is in control. That God is in control. That God is moving. That God has everything under control because we've given it unto him. And we've decided to let him handle those things. Don't give up. Don't give up, ladies. You're almost at the finish line. I said, what do you mean? Don't give up. Don't give up praying for your children. Don't give up praying for your marriage. Don't give up praying for your church. Don't give up praying for family members. Don't give up praying. You're almost at the finish line. I say, how do you know that? Because you can see the end times. It says Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And it says that God says in the end days that he would raise up a people that will seek him with everything within us, that will look to him, that will follow him, that will love him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, looking to him to get the job done. The souls of many people, many children, many spouses, are relying upon your prayers. Oh, the devil will say, and even ourselves sometimes say, oh, that's enough. Because sometimes we have enough. Huh? I mean, that's the truth. It's like, I have enough of this. You know? And sometimes we can't go any longer. But let me tell you, just sit down, breathe in a little bit, look up to heaven and say, Lord, I can't do it, but Father, you can. And you keep on praying and seeking God on behalf of your family, for your children, your spouse, and whatever other situations that are going on. Impact your children for the kingdom of God like never before. Pray fervently. She put her soul in her prayers, Hannah did. She prayed persistently. She continued steadfastly in prayer. When she got up from wherever she was, and Eli the priest said, "Go in peace, your prayers have been answered." She knew without a doubt, God was in control. And ladies, I want to encourage you, go in peace. Your prayers have been answered. God has heard your prayers. He's heard your cry. He's heard those things that no one else has heard. And he's saying, go in peace. I've heard your prayers. And let me tell you, when God says, go in peace, and I've heard your prayers, that means the answer is coming. That means he's coming. That means the answer is on its way. Then it says, you know, later on, we read, not long after that, she became pregnant. See, God keeps his promises, people. We can take this book, and we can read the scriptures, and we can know whatever God promises us is ours. Whatever he says that he would do, it will happen. And we know as God speaks things to our hearts and minds, that he speaks things to us through the word of God, through his Holy Spirit, that we can rest assured that it is done, people. You might say, well, how do we know that? Because God is a God of his word. And what he says, when he says yes, it's yes. And when he says no, it's no. So we can book it that whatever he says to us, whenever we read a scripture and the Holy Spirit, it comes out upon us. And we know without a shadow of a doubt that it's the Spirit of God that has spoken that to us. We can rest assured. It's like a signed document that has been signed by one in authority that it is done. You know, when I marry people and I have to sign my signature, my name, documenting that it is done, that these two people came before me and took this vow before me, I am signing saying, I've heard it and I've seen it. And it is true. And I mail those documents to the clerk of court in whatever parish, and they take it and they look at it and they say, yes, it's been done. Now, if these two people that were getting married would sign where I have to sign, when that clerk of court would get it, they would look at it and say, it's not official. It's not right. It has to be someone who is in authority to be able to perform marriages. And they could not document it down in their books that these two people are actually married. But when they see my name written down, and I have been documented down in their books as one who has the authority to perform that marriage and say they are legally married, well, then they say, yes, it's true. That's the same thing. This book was inspired by God, written by the Holy Ghost from heaven above. And we can rest assured when God says something, it is truth. When he says something, we can rest assured that it will happen. That it will happen because he said so. He said so. He keeps his word. Let's go down to verse 20 of that same chapter, please. It says this, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord, a promise fulfilled, she conceived and had a son. See, that should build faith in you to believe. Ladies, What you've been praying about, God will answer. If it's according to His word, if it's according to His plan. And the male and Cana and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice in his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. And then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seems thee good. Tarry until you have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode or stayed home, and gave her son sup until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her to the tabernacle with three bullocks, which is talking about sacrifice, one ephod of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. They think about 5 years of age. And they killed the bullock and brought the child to Eli, and she said, Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying unto the Lord. It's an amazing thing. She went back to the priest and said, I want to let you know the God that you're supposed to serve is the God that will answer your prayer, get things right. For this child I prayed, said, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiced in the Lord, my horn. My Lord, my mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside you, neither in there any rock like our God. Here we see a woman that kept her word. She conceived, bore a son, talked to her husband and said, Look, I'm not going to go until it's time for me to really give you to God. They say the child was only about 5 years of age or so. 5, 6, something like that. Very young. You know, Hannah could have reneged on her promise to God. Huh? She could have. God kept his promise. He gave her a son. She promised before she was praying, Lord, I will give him back to you. He would take the Nazarite vow, which there's many things involved in that. And as years went by, let's say he was 5 or 6, the 4th year came, the 5th year came, the 6th year came, and she knew it was time to give him up. You know, as parents, sometimes it's hard to give up your kids when they of age. But you know, at 5 or 6 years of age, can you imagine they start to load up all that they need for the sacrifice? They go. Near her heart, she knows she's coming back to the empty nest. That's what 5 or 6. Leaving that boy with somebody else to take care of him. And for them to feed him. Make sure he's okay when he's sick, to take care of him, to clothe him, to do all those things. And I'm sure they gave and did whatever, but that's right, because they only went once a year. Once a year. Can you imagine as they loaded up everything and they started the trip? I bet you she took that boy and had him sit right next to her, put her arm around. But all of that time of 5 or 6 years, she did something that was tremendous. She read him the word that they had. She taught him the oracles of God and the things of God. What a great mother. She did all she could because she knew he was going there. Because she had to keep. And as they were riding, I'm sure in her mind was saying, no, can't do it. But her heart was saying, I have to. I have to. got there and they gave the boy, they did their sacrifices, they stayed a little while, days, and she gave, God bless you, and she gave that her only son at that time to the priest. Because what she was saying, Lord, not so much, and I think she looked at it maybe a different way than giving it to Eli, the priest. She said, I'm giving him. And I know mothers, probably the worst thing, or probably one of the things might be the worst, would be a son or a daughter that could really break your heart. But always remember to do what Hannah did and give him. This is what it happens. When you give your spouse or your children or grandchildren, whatever, all that thing, you know, the ones you're praying for, that are not serving God, that just whatever. When you give them to God, this is what you do. What you're, not that you're not going to help. What you're saying is, Lord, I can't do anything. Pray and seek you on their behalf. And the Father says, thank you. Give it to me. And you see, when we put them in the hands of God, ladies, God's Holy Spirit moves. It may not look like it. It may not seem like it. But you see, our faith is not in what we see. Our faith is in who we serve and how he moves in all things and what he does. And he brings peace to your heart because you're not carrying the weight of other people from your shoulders. But you're letting God be God in your heart life. In your heart life. God moves upon those situations. I want to read one last scripture to you. I know I read it earlier, but Hannah said this. There's so much more, but Hannah said this in chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. Can you imagine, people? She just gave up her son, and her heart rejoices. See, what man says is right sometimes, and what God says is right is totally different. You see, when we give God our children, our spouses, our family, our whatever situations, he'll fill your heart with joy. And if the situation hasn't changed, but you have changed, and he rejoicing, is exalted, in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over my enemies before I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none besides you, neither is there any rock like our God. Praise God. Praise God. No rock like him. Our heart rejoices, Lord. Keep your faith, ladies, in him and him alone. And nothing else. And let me tell you, he'll change things. He'll change it. Ladies, I want to encourage you to serve God with everything within you. With all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know why? Ladies, your husband needs you. Your children need you. And your church needs you. Your pastor needs you. Needs you to get the job done. Amen. Would you stand, please? Thank you. Ladies, we just appreciate you. Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord God, for today. Lord, I pray for the ladies that your spirit would rest upon them, Lord. That your anointing and your spirit, Lord God, and help them to know how much we appreciate them, Lord. In all that they have done and sacrificed for and have given, Father, in prayer and help in all areas, Lord. Father, Lord, just be with them and help them and encourage them, Lord. Protect them from the evil one. In Jesus' name. I want to ask you a very important question today before we leave. Would everyone just bow your head just a minute? I want to ask you something. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Have you accepted Jesus inside of your heart and life? Are you living for him? If you don't know him and you'd like to accept him as your Lord and Savior, would you please raise your hand so we can pray with you? And I just want to make sure everybody's okay. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you're going to be with everyone. Protect us, lead us, and guide us. And we give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hope you have a great Mother's Day. Look, we appreciate you. We thank God for you and love you. And have a great week.